Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And this week, we are, as every week, going to class up wrestling. Make it fancy.
We usually do. Oh, yeah.
This week, there was a 3-hour episode of Raw. And, well, here's the thing. This was like, as far as I felt, this was a dry run for, you know, having 3 hours every week. This was kind of like the test. And I'm sitting down to watch it, getting ready to like tear into, this is why 3-hour Raws are a terrible idea. Here's proof positive that we should never have it. Yeah. Here's 3 solid hours of examples of why they do not need to do this.
Right.
And I really can't.
I mean, really, like, the only weak part I found of the night was really just the ending.
That was this.
I mean, like, unless I can't think of anything. Well, I mean, Tensai was in the episode, but I can't do much about that.
I mean, there were segments I disliked more than others, but
nothing that I would really complain about that
much. I did no channel flipping. Like, that's the thing is, you know, Tensai was in it, Heath Slater was in it, but they really off-balanced it by, drumroll please.
I don't have a drumroll sound effect on me, or am I good at making a drumroll, but I will steal your thunder and say that Vader came back!
Vader came back!
I was not expecting that at all.
I was not expecting it to the point where there was a guy holding up a Vader sign, like, a few rows back, and I was like, that poor guy, he is so out of it. Not like that would ever happen.
Had no idea what was actually going to happen. Oof, wow.
But let's talk about Mr. Vince McMahon. Because this was kind of his episode to dance around.
Yeah, and I mean, they pimped out this episode for the past week, and I was fully expecting, oh, you know, we'll see him probably at the beginning, maybe a little bit at the end, and that'll be that. Something terrible will happen to him like they always does, and whatever. Not much going on in between.
Yeah.
So, but they used him a lot. I was not expecting them to use him that. It was almost to the point where it seemed like every other segment featured Vince in some fashion. I mean, well, you know, there were some times where they mixed it up some, but by and large, it was every other segment was Vince in a backstage or something.
Well, it was very odd because, you know, Vince is always, well, not always been a heel, but, you know, because he was an announcer way back when, but ever since he's been, you know, the Mr. McMahon character, he's pretty solidly, you know, a heel.
Every time he's been gone for a while, he comes back and he gets this huge reaction from the crowd every time.
Yeah.
You know, so he has to do something pretty dastardly for them to boo him. I mean, the only time that he's been booed in recent memory is probably the CM Punk situation, but that's because, you know, CM Punk was so over with the fans at the time that anybody put against them is going to get booed out the building.
Well, that's what I was trying to piece together when I was watching this week. Was, you know, he was around a little bit for CM Punk, mm-hmm. but then other than coming out on very rare occasions, like he came out to introduce Drew McIntyre once back when he was getting a push, and he appeared in his little coma segment the night before the election.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was after he got attacked by Nexus.
Right. And he got the Nexus. He was out for, like, that 1 week on Nexus. But other than that, I think since Bret Hart, he's been, by and large, absent. Am I missing anything?
Oh, yeah. No, and even before Bret Hart, he was kind of sparing, you know?
Yeah.
We hadn't seen much of him.
So, I saw
briefly when they introduced the anonymous GM. But yeah, they used Vince very sparingly, and I think that's a great move that they, you know, bring him out every now and then.
Well,
because dear Lord, I don't know what it is, but he does something that no one else does.
when he, like, when he's used right, it's amazing.
Like that first segment. That opening promo.
No, it was just, it was totally entertaining.
And a lot of it was just Vince ad-libbing, saying, yeah, I pretty much know this stuff is stupid.
Yeah.
I know it's stupid. I'll point it out that it's stupid. Hey, look, you're trending. Haha, you're an idiot. You know?
I mean...
said Big Show hasn't been useful since 1999. How long have we been saying that?
That cracked me up, because it was like, I should put this guy in a main event, and then the Raw before the show, talk about how irrelevant he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Business plan. But
I love Vince ad-libbing. It's great.
I mean, to be totally fair, Vince was in, you know, he was pretty much in full heel persona. He just was being mean to somebody we didn't like instead of somebody we're supposed to cheer for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I kind of expected the ending sequence to be Vince, you know, turning around and screwing John Cena some way, somehow.
I mean, I kind of feel ashamed of myself for not seeing that one coming, because that happens a lot to Vince. Just terrible.
But we've been crazy jumping around this episode.
It was a crazy jumping around.
It was
episode of Raw.
I mean, it's one where it kind of honestly showed me, or made me believe for a moment, that a 3-hour format could work. I mean, I've been a huge advocate against that. But even though, you know, I think
it would work. It can work so much better if the guy in charge had a little bit more charisma. Because we saw that with Vince. Vince was the guy in charge for that episode.
Yeah.
Know? Sure, Ace was, you know, throwing out the matches and doing all that stuff, but he was supposedly the authoritative figure in this episode. And it was so much fun to watch. I just think if Ace was a little bit flashy, didn't fumble over his words that much, didn't, you know, stand there awkwardly or just act like a robot half the time.
I mean, I've enjoyed Ace being a lot more, I guess, dry and stiff. I think it's been entertaining, but he does not elicit a great feud for some superstar to bounce off the way Vince did. Right. And that's why he's
kind of needed. And that might be hard to come by, you know. Nobody can probably fill those shoes like him.
Well, face general managers never work for me. It's why I've never liked Teddy Long, because somebody to stack the odds against a heel, I don't enjoy. That's not entertaining. It's kind of boring and repetitive. So
you know what? And I know this isn't a popular thing, but I like Mike Adamly.
I'm sorry.
He was pretty much straight down the middle, I thought. And, you know, he did the whole, I can't think of the name of it, but it was like five guys in a match. They had a time limit, and whoever had the pin at that moment was the champion.
Let me quick,
yeah, sure.
Wikipedia him so that I can remember that brief blip of nothing.
Maybe it's just because I'm a Chicago Bears fan, all right? And I want to see former players succeed in life, okay? Maybe it's just a soft spot. Maybe you can actually let it go and be like, okay, Chris, I respect your decision, your opinion. But no, Joel's going to be like, I'm going to be a jerk.
This I cannot respect. Although, to be fair, I would totally be down for Mick Foley coming back and GMing for a while. Because...
here's the thing. It was one of those things where you don't really know what you have until you lost it kind of situations. Like, we would like Mick Foley to come back. I would rather have Mike Adamly. I think both of us would just go head over heels if William Regal was the general manager again.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so, probably, I hated the anonymous general manager, but I would take that right now. Because there was some mystery to it, and we never found out who it was. Bring it back so we could find out. You know?
I would take that if the story went anywhere. Like, it was great. I mean, it was great for the first little while where we thought, like, oh, they're going to drop some clues for a while. Edge is going to go crazy on that computer. Edge is going to get this personal vendetta thing going, and we're going to...
the crazy eyes, Edge.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to get an actual long-term story out of this, but no.
And
that...
then the whole CM Punk thing just, it died with that.
It did.
Because they needed an actual person in charge, you know, an actual face to
They needed the somebody for CM Punk to rebel against, basically. Since
yeah,
that was his whole thing at the time, was...
It's not
going
to be
going against the establishment. But anyway, Vince shows up. And yeah, oh, by the way, I would totally accept Vince coming back full time as some sort of authoritative figure. Let me in all the GMs
okay,
we
one,
didn't see.
One, you have the most just astounding infatuation with Vince. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that, and that's no, like, bold statement that I've never heard from you before. Two, I'd be okay with it. If he did stuff like that, I mean, I'm pretty sure after a while I'd be like, okay, I'm tired of this whole thing, but...
Yeah, to step outside of the fanboy role, Vince is best used sparingly.
He's
a bigger hit, and... And he gets such an entertaining pop. I would honestly, yeah, if I was being responsible, I would bring him in once to twice a year for some kind of brief storyline.
I think someone who could pull this off on a more consistent basis, I think would be Triple H. I mean, I know we've got a while before the whole, you know, Triple H fandom kind of wears out and people start, you know, just cheering him incessantly. He could pull off doing something so terrible that everyone's going to boo him. He's pretty fantastic as a heel.
Well, this was, okay, this was actually a pretty long time ago at this point, but during the, I guess it was promotional stuff for the Chaperone, but that was back when, like, Triple H had been pretty much full-time up until that point. Sheamus takes him out. And so, in some interview or something, when Triple H mentions that when he comes back, he'd really like to do one more big heel run because he really enjoyed being a heel. And I think he could do a really good job being that GM heel.
He's not completely, you know... He's still got a lot of... left in the tank is wrestling wise.
Yeah, and he can,
you know,
he can,
especially since he's been taking so much time off. Anytime he does come back, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's a big reason why Laurinaitis got to be this role, was because they were like, oh, he's eventually have to get in the ring with somebody, and he's, you know, been in the ring before, so he gets the experience boost. Would actually, I'd be really cool with Stephanie coming back. Having some
I was thinking about that yesterday, actually, and I would really enjoy that. Like, she can pull off being that person in charge, that authoritative figure, so well. I mean, her entire career has been, you know, within that role.
Right.
I know this is kind of a inside baseball and kind of a side. They've taken... John Laurinaitis off of their actual, like, legit...
I noticed that, like...
listing as far as, you know, heads. He's listed as, you know...
In-ring talent, basically.
Just in-ring talent right now.
Yeah.
And put Triple H, basically, in his spot. And Triple H has had... As far as I understand, Triple H has had that position, that executive VP of talent relations. He's had that one for a while, I think. Unless I'm misunderstanding or something, I don't know.
Well, I don't know... I mean, this is not like, you know, any kind of, like, story on the website or anything. This is, like, if you dig around, you'll notice it. And so, some other website mentioned it.
And this is kind of surprising because, you know, for a while, it's just, as far as on the business end, it's always been, you know, Vince at the top, then right under him is, Laurinaitis. And now it's kind of, you know, and then it eventually branched out into Laurinaitis and Stephanie, and then branched out even more with Laurinaitis, Stephanie, and Triple H. And then they just completely dropped it. And now, basically, it's Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, and the Hemsleys, or Levesque, or whatever. Their real name.
Well, you know, I don't know how much real more time Laurinaitis has before he's retiring, basically. I have no interest of ever seeing him in the ring again.
Lord, no.
So, you know, I don't want him. I really like one of my favorite, like, just long-term things that they do is somebody feuding with a general manager or somebody, you know, some sort of feud or disagreement with management. I think it's just always been more compelling storylines.
It was with CM Punk, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of their best stuff has come out of that, and I'm in no way tired of it or ready for that type of storyline to go away. But that ultimately has to come down to the management guy eventually climbing in the ring to get beat up. And I don't need Laurinaitis to ever do that again.
I mean, Vince was pretty terrible, too.
Vince was pretty terrible. Okay.
And Vince had no kind of, any kind of real training.
Yeah, Vince was never supposed to. Like, Vince, at the age of whatever.
So you're saying it's more despicable for Laurinaitis having been a wrestler and having been trained and all that stuff, now that he's that terrible?
Well, I'm saying that Vince tried and failed. Like, there are terrible matches. Like, Bret Hart was a terrible match.
Yeah.
A lot of the Stone Cold stuff was pretty unwatchable. But
him and Shawn Michaels.
There were
some
bizarrely shining moments. I mean, the only one that comes to mind, so I don't really have a real defense to what I'm saying, but the only one that comes to mind is when he fought Hogan, and there's like this one moment where he's like really bloody and he kind of like peeks over the ring, and I was like, that's impressive. Like, that was just a good shot, good, like, Vince has gone crazy kind of moment.
Your one shining moment of Vince McMahon is his creep face?
maybe a little bit. But that's his character.
If that's the prerequisite for that, then Orton's career is defined by him just peeking behind the steps against Christian last year. That creeped all of us out. They kept doing that in slow motion. We're like, stop it! I'm trying to sleep at night.
I was a big fan of Orton and Christian last summer.
And I wasn't.
I thought they did a good job.
They had good matches and all, but it went on for way too long, I thought.
Vince looked like he tried to, you know, he tried to be a wrestler and came up short from the rest of the talent. John Laurinaitis has kind of been like comedy bits and let's laugh at how skinny he looks in a wetsuit. Ha 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 ha. That's just never impressed me much.
But it's funny.
No, it's not. That's the problem. You know what's funny?
Banana peels?
Vince McMahon riding a scooter.
I was wondering how long it would take before you mentioned that. That was the best thing in the world. And I was so pissed. Like, anyone who was on Twitter following us, I was just going on about, like, stop showing replays of him destroying the Rascal. I want him to be riding that thing. I want replays of him riding up and down that ramp, waving his arm around like he was, you know, in the freaking rodeo. That was the best moment ever, I thought.
By the way, we should mention that there was actual wrestling on Raw this week.
Yeah, which one are we going to talk about first?
Let's talk about the tag team match, because it was still my favorite.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, entertaining-wise, I guess, but...
Oh, entertaining-wise. No, it was really kind of...
Okay, from a technical standpoint, I think the end of the four-way match.
Which one?
The
number one contender match was actually a very impressive match.
Once they got Kali out the way.
once they got Kali out the way, which they did really, like, without question. Let's make sure all three guys pin Kali, which I really liked. I
thought that was brilliant. And then, you know, Ziggler getting the pin on Swagger. Like, I thought that was a good move. And then
that's good. That's, like, kind of good storyline material.
Exactly.
I was really impressed with that.
And then Christian versus Ziggler at the end. I thought that was a match that we shouldn't have gotten for free.
There's a feud in there.
Right. And I mean, we don't know exactly how much longer Christian has in the tank, but they need to let that happen.
No. Well... Ziggler versus insert wrestler here. There's a feud there that I want to see.
Oh yeah, and I mean, but, it did dawn on me that, you know, it might be more because of Ziggler just makes anyone look fantastic. But there was some really good moments between the two of them.
Yeah, no, I wanted.
It seemed like they gelled pretty well.
The only thing that makes me hesitant about really pulling the trigger on that is that I am more ready for Ziggler to be at the top, fighting for one of the two top belts.
Right, you don't want
Ziggler
to be going at the Intercontinental belt. Yeah. No, I was going to make that point. If Christian was back on, like, the top tier level again, I would totally go for the two of them going at it.
Right.
But that transitions straight into Ziggler is going for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Number one contender.
How ecstatic are you about that?
I am incredibly excited, especially to, like, replace Del Rio, who I was completely uninterested in.
No one was interested in him. No one cares at this point.
I feel bad, because I actually liked him for about a month after he debuted. Well, after he finally debuted.
Because I was really done with those promos. The only match I actually liked him in was the ladder match at TLC with him, Punk, and Miz. That was a great match, and a lot
that
of
was
it
a great
was
match.
Because of him.
But more of it was because of Ricardo Rodriguez falling off that ladder.
True, but that is Ricardo.
I mean, when your commentator guy, when your announcer is outshining you, there's a problem there. And I don't think it's because Del Rio is a bad wrestler. I think he's really good in ring skills. I do not like the character. I think the fancy aristocrat guy does not work for him. They need to revamp something there.
They need to revamp something. Maybe put Ricardo in something else, because Ricardo is outshining him, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, the fact that Del Rio was out for a long time with injury, and so they had Ricardo every now and then doing stuff. Like, he came out with the Royal Rumble and he got a bigger pop than Del Rio ever did.
He's getting Santino pops, obviously. Like, he's getting the entertaining comedy thing, but
his flying cross bodies are impressive, though.
He's working it well, and the fact that he is willing to take bumps like the one that we mentioned, TLC.
I mean, least we forget, he is a wrestler first and foremost. Like, you know, right. He still does work in FCW every now and then.
He's
not shabby in the ring. Like, he's got some moves.
No, I would be genuinely interested to see somewhere down the line him kind of getting a career going here.
How many times did I say that in, like, the first year of Santino's career? Because, you know, I always thought he had some talent in the ring that he just needed to polish on, and as they continue to use him as a, you know, comedy act, and he's doing the same stuff plus the Cobra.
Right. Anyway, we also had a tag team match of Daniel Bryan and Kane going against CM Punk and AJ. I have to say, I don't know why I am enjoying this whole storyline so much.
I can tell you exactly why I'm enjoying this storyline so much. First of all, you know, we skipped a little bit ahead, but the four of them were all involved in a promo together, starting with, you know, Daniel Bryan, then CM Punk coming in, and those two trading shots at each other. Then Kane coming out and be like, you know, I did some stuff too.
Angry face Kane.
Angry face Kane. And then AJ was like, "Sup, Kane? How you doing? You doing good? That's good. I'll be over here. What's up?"
Okay. But
go ahead, go ahead.
But just view it like this. If you knew nothing about this, you'd taken, you know, X number of weeks break from wrestling, And I was like, so the WWE Championship storyline right now is, one, going to be determined by the whims of a love relationship. Boo. Two, is Kane getting involved in it again? Boo. Three, is teasing CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, but getting other guys involved in it and interfering? Boo. Three, Kane love story. Again.
You would worked out so well in the past.
You would swear off wrestling based on that description. And somehow, this is totally endearing and entertaining.
Oh yeah, like, I love it. And a lot of it, I will admit, a lot of it does have to do with AJ. For some reason, this whole story is just clicking with her.
No, absolutely. She is making this weird, crazy chick thing work for her.
And you know what? I would just totally be okay if her and Punk stuck together, you know, pulling stuff like this. Like, CM Punk's just kind of, like, constantly, like, amazed at how exactly crazy she is, but yet still keeping her around, be like, you know what? I'm okay with it. It's cool.
CM Punk's playing it off really well, too. Just this kind of like...
He is playing it like okay. The perfect, like, nerdy guy who he likes girls, but he doesn't really care all that much kind of thing, which is probably Punk just to a T. He's like, okay, sure, whatever. Hi, girl who's here. You want to go play video games or something? I don't know. And the girl's just like, okay. Crazy face. Yep.
So, and, I mean, obviously AJ is going to interfere with this match some way.
Right. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be worth it, though, because as they said Monday night, wants to go Brian. There's no use in trying.
I really like that.
And today on Twitter he said that he prefers to be called Beautiful Brian from now on.
Instead of Goatface.
I'm okay with Beautiful Brian Goatface. Let's go with that.
I think the way to really kind of kill this storyline in classic WWE fashion.
They'll find
I would be really upset if this turned out to be Brian and AJ in cahoots the whole time, and we revert right back to Brian and AJ coming out. And
you know what? I was okay with them together when they were on SmackDown, but I like her. I can't go back. Yeah, I like this so much more, though.
I've seen the world in color. You can't send me back to black and white.
Fair enough.
No. My hope that I'm grasping on right now is that they've made I Did Crazy Chicks shirts to sell, and I think that they're still hoping to sell enough of those that they're not going to do that to this storyline, that they're going to keep CM Punk and AJ in the same storyline for a while. So
I'm okay with that, yeah.
No, I'm absolutely okay with that. I'm genuinely looking forward to this match.
Too.
No Way Out. Like, I mean, for the match skills and for whatever's crazy gonna happen. It's okay. I never thought that I would look forward to a match between CM Punk and Daniel Bryan where I knew there was gonna be interference. And this is one where, like, I know there's gonna be interference, and any other case, I would be all about they need to have a clean match together.
Right.
Just to watch the beauty of them working together.
And we got that at the last pay-per-view.
We got it at the last pay-per-view, and I feel confident we will get it, you know, again many times over the next couple of years.
And you know what? I'm okay with Kane being involved. To be honest with you, you know, I mean, all things considered, Kane is, what, 45?
Kane's 45. These guys are 45 years old.
He's still really, really agile in the ring.
No.
He still looks really good. And I think him...
In all honesty,
going to make him look really good.
In all honesty, good on Kane. You are wrestling guys like 12 years your junior.
And you're keeping up
in, you know, in the storyline, doing a good job. It's a little bit, I mean, I don't like Kane, but there's no reason. I unfairly don't like Kane. And it's because he's always going to kind of be Undertaker light when Undertaker's on break. And
right. And that's really, you kind of feel sorry for a guy like that.
That's a shame, because he honestly has had, you know, a good career on his own.
He's had a great career. Oh yeah,
doing a good job, and he's doing a good job in this feud. And so, I wish.
Okay. Anyone? Okay, because we knew Triple H would survive this, but this dude survived Katie Vick. Normal wrestlers, there would be no way in the world they could survive that. They would be forever known as the Katie Vick guy. You know, now it's, you know, most people don't even think about it anymore. I mean, we bring it up every now and then for a cheap laugh.
Right.
But.
Good on you, Kane. I gotta say, good on you, Kane.
So I'm stoked for all three of these guys. I think CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are going to make Kane look really good. And Kane is going to bring some of that, you know, the powerhouse stuff that these two guys don't really have.
Right.
You know?
So, honestly, all in all, this, like, multiple matches this week felt like they would have been the main event of any other episode. This one, like, feels like, because it's furthering storytelling, it feels like it would have been a main event match.
This is what a Raw feels like when everyone tries. Like, everyone, it seemed like they really wanted this episode to go to be a success, you know, other than Big Show missing wildly with that blast punch at the end.
It's got to be scary to have to punch Vince McMahon. Like, I might pull that punch too.
So many people have done it. I mean, it's okay. Just Shawn Michaels beat him senselessly. So have Bret Hart had him in the sharpshooter for God knows how long.
I mean, no, it does feel, and I do bet that a little bit of it was trying to convince us that 3 hours was not a terrible mistake.
Yeah. And I mean,
especially because really you'll notice that the WWE Network has not been mentioned in a while.
Not been mentioned.
What's going on there, guys?
They gave up. Which is
maybe we don't have two colossal failures in 1 year.
Right, and that might be what's fueling it. They are really trying big time to make this. From what I understand, the feeling is they want this episode of Raw to feel like one of their biggest pay-per-views. You know, they're pulling out all stops. You know, we're getting images of possible new title belts. We get rumors that we're going to have a new set from here on out. You know,
mm-hmm.
I even heard rumors that we're getting a new theme song. Which
I'd be okay with that.
I would be okay with that. I talked about it on Twitter a couple nights ago, and you know, I came up with a couple ideas as far as theme music, but most of it just, you know, was stuff that was in my own iTunes that I would like to hear. But I'm interested in what everyone else is thinking. What would you think would be a good theme song, Joel?
Oh,
just off the top of your head. And no, not Banana Phone.
I don't know. What did they have right before Nickelback?
I can't even remember.
I remember really liking that one, and it wasn't even a song I liked that much. It just kind of like felt good for the show.
Like, I know what they're going to go for. They're going to want something upbeat to kind of like kick off the show and, you know, kind of be like a driving force almost for, like, you know, keep everyone hyped up and stuff.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it was not even like anything rock themed.
Well, you know, they're really liking generic metal for their pay-per-view themes right now.
Except for WrestleMania. WrestleMania goes pop.
Which, yeah. I really like that. My brother listens pretty adamantly to the newest hit station, whatever it's called. And so every now and then I'm riding in the car with him, I'm like, hey, WrestleMania theme. He's like, no, this is blah-de-blah song. And I'm like, nope, WrestleMania theme.
I thought for a second you were going to suggest that the WrestleMania theme be the new theme song. And if I have to hear that song...
No.
Any more times, I will hunt you down, sir, and blame it on you, and I will beat you over your head with a dead rodent.
We had so many themes for WrestleMania this year. I don't even know which one you hate.
Oh, sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet you were in chorus in high school, weren't you?
Surprisingly, I was in band.
With them pipes of yours.
I know, right? Okay, go ahead. And just to kind of wrap up the whole, you know, song thing, if anyone has any ideas of their own, definitely we'd like to hear from you. So, you know, email us at classroomretire@gmail.com or send us some tweet on the Twitter thingies, at CRRetire. Yeah. And let us know what you think.
Give a suggestion and give a compelling reason why.
If it's not compelling, we will make fun of you.
Obviously.
If it's compelling, we'll probably still make fun of you, but that's...
I think to wrap up this entire episode in 2 points, I will say that they put the comedy segment and the diva segment as one segment. So anytime you have a full enough episode of Raw that you need to do that, you're doing something right. And another thing, William Regal is on an episode of Raw, you're doing something right.
No matter what the situation is.
No.
Him doing the dance off with Brodus Clay, they did something right.
Exactly. I mean, this week it was like just a look at a camera and like a wince shrug.
And a puckered face.
Yep. And I was like, that's going to be the highlight of this episode. Because he did it exactly the way it should be done.
Did you really think that? Because this was after the scooter ride.
I did like the scooter ride.
The scooter ride's still just my moment of all time at this point.
Okay, that might have been the best way Vince McMahon has ever moved around on a ramp. And
is that including the strut?
And I'm such a fan of the Vince McMahon strut. It's the basis of my appreciation for the character.
Just the strut.
Just him walking down the ramp with that strut. So... he did the strut once and kind of like Santino tromboned halfway through it. That was my favorite strut. It's in GIF form somewhere on the internet. Look it up.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't remember that one.
But we have to move on because there's actually a pay-per-view this week that...
And for once, I was more excited about what happened on Raw than I am about this upcoming pay-per-view.
I know. I forgot about it because the go-home episode, Raw episodes right before pay-per-views are the worst.
Yeah, this one was so good.
This was wonderful. So, but we do have to mention and make our official predictions so let's get the boring ones out of the way. Pre-show is Brodus Clay versus David Otunga.
Not much story here, except Brodus is now... exclusively on SmackDown as per Johnny Laurinaitis. Brodus winning.
Brodus winning. There's no storyline here to break the streak. And since they've started actually mentioning that he's undefeated on the show, they're not going to do that here. Divas is Layla versus Beth Phoenix.
I'm not going to say it this time. I'm not going to say it. I've said it for every Divas match in a pay-per-view since WrestleMania. And I'm not going to say that it would be a perfect time for someone to show up.
Even though it would?
Even though it would be. there was no mention of these two pretty much this entire month. The only focus on any Diva has been on AJ. Not that I'm complaining. But now we have this added element where Ricardo and Beth apparently are doing something together. I don't know what they're doing.
But... are teaming up? Question mark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of there's kind of this keeping Ricardo on TV even though Del Rio's not.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know? It's a little bit of that.
I think they're going to keep Layla, the belt on Layla for right now.
I don't really
have much of a reason for it, but yeah.
I too am going to go Layla because I still think that they're trying to hold off Beth and Karma. I think as soon as Beth gets the title, Karma will come back. I think that's what that's basically
like
what the holdout is.
I like how you have a legit reason, and I was just like, I choose Layla just because.
Oh, I'm pretending that they put thought into the divas. Is that not what we're doing?
Obviously, I wasn't.
Are we not laboring under the same delusion?
Apparently not.
Christian versus Cody Rhodes for the Intercontinental Championship. I honestly didn't know this match existed before I looked it up.
They talked it up a little bit on SmackDown. I'm going to say Christian's going to hold on to it. Hopefully Cody moves upwards from here.
Same reasoning for me. I'm ready for Cody to...
Yeah, and again,
to the point where it's affecting my predictions. Yeah,
there's not really much going on between the two. I mean, they've had a couple promos against each other, but nothing really notable.
Right, they're feuding, but they're feuding as little as possible, and while still being able to call it a feud.
Or unless they want to, you know, punish Christian for them allowing him to be on TNA.
That would suck for Christian.
Be like, hey, I know we allowed you to and everything, but we're just going to have you drop the belt here because, you know, we don't want to appear weak. So, screw you.
Because you can't have one of your champions exist in another company.
I mean, all he did was come out and did one promo on the mic. He presented a video. That was it. That's all he did.
No, I mean...
And we know this was part of the whole, you know, allowing Ric Flair on... WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Hall of Fame, yeah.
Like, we know it was part of that deal and all, but still, that was just... That was not
I think TNA should have held out for more.
If that was their bargaining chip, now we see why they're in such terrible shape from a business standpoint.
Yep. Because, like, we want Christian. Oh, you want a match with Christian? Nope. He just has to stand here.
I mean, granted, that's what we got out of Ric Flair, but it's Ric Flair.
But it's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And so, I honestly, this, I guess, is deviating some. I thought that he was going to / should have answered Crimson's challenge. I thought that felt like the open opportunity for them to use.
Had I known, I can't remember his name. I'm blanking on it.
That I just said?
No. The guy who ended up actually facing Crimson.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I didn't watch Slammiversary.
I actually watched it.
Really?
I actually watched it. I know. Was it James Storm? Is that his name?
That is a person.
'Cause I knew he was used to be the old tag partner for
yeah, Rude. With Rude. Yeah. So, I was going to find out when I watched TNA this week, honestly. Like, I did not have the investment to watch Slammiversary.
Right. I was right, it is James Storm. Funny how I asked people who he was when I have the internet right here in front of my face. But yeah, I actually watched it.
Well, how was that? How'd that treat you?
Not terrible, you know. AJ Styles was amazing, but I mean that's no secret to anyone.
I feel really bad that like AJ Styles is not the first AJ I think of when I think of AJ in wrestling.
And you watch TNA more than I do.
I know.
This is the first thing. This is the first time I watched. Well, no, okay, well, I did watch a little bit when they announced that they were going live a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I watched the first 45 minutes, but then I had to turn it off because it was just terrible. But it was good. The opening match between Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, that match was fantastic.
And don't honestly, you wish?
I didn't really see any match that topped it, to be honest with you, after it.
Don't you wish you could, like, get to watch Samoa Joe without having to watch TNA?
I really would. And Austin Aries, like...
Yep.
Those guys are... Yeah, if I could just watch them wrestling and that's it, I'd be okay. Yeah. What really, what's the worst thing for them is when anyone goes on the mic. Anyone on the mic in TNA is just really bad.
Someday we're going to have a whole podcast dedicated to my grievances of TNA. We are too short on time this episode to even begin.
And I won't really have much of an idea of what you're talking about. I'll probably have to do homework. Joel, someday email me and be like, hey, Chris, you need to watch this week. And I'll be like, do I have to? It's for the podcast. Fine. Yes, that's right, everyone. Joel is a horrible, horrible boss. He's keeping me in the basement somewhere. Please send food.
I quite might be able to monologue for an hour on things that I don't like about TNA.
And basically, I'll just be here and be like, uh-huh. Cool. So then what happened?
But we move on.
Going on, yeah, go back to the
card. Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler for World Heavyweight Championship.
See, this, and I heard various rumors on exactly what Randy Orton's, what was supposed to happen with him before he got suspended. And one of the things was he was going to be in the heavyweight championship picture very, very, very soon. So that led me to believe that Del Rio was probably supposed to win at No Way Out. So that kind of gives me hope that Ziggler's going to win. So they put a heel. But then again, I'm like, but Randy Orton's not here, so it doesn't really matter. So, I don't know. Maybe this starts some sort of feud between him and Ziggler, between Sheamus and Ziggler. I want so bad for Ziggler to win this. But for a guy who is just, they had to scramble to find an opponent this close to the pay-per-view, I can't believe that that's what they're going to, they're not going to plan for that.
So you going Sheamus?
By default,
official prediction time. Official prediction time. I am so torn about what I want to have happen here. Because on one hand, I really want Ziggles to hold a top belt and be in a, you know, a feud for a title. But on the other hand, if he wins, he'll be on SmackDown. And then I'll have to watch more SmackDown.
The heavyweight champion has been on both shows for like a while, dude.
I know, but it gets shoved down underneath everything else that happens on Raw. I think
you're going to be okay if you have to watch him. If you just watch his segments from SmackDown, I think you'll be okay. You watch TNA, okay? Stop complaining.
I think there is really cool stuff to do with Ziggles because this like breakup feud with him and Swagger and Vicky, like, there's really something there.
Definitely, yeah.
And so I'm going to go with Sheamus winning and this just being a filler match. And Sheamus will get his real feud later on. Because I think this would throw... Although I did hear things about Ziggler having a feud with Randy Orton sometime in the near pre-Orton... Getting taken away.
Right.
So they might be starting from scratch here. Next up, Punk, Kane, and Brian.
We know something outside is going to happen with this. And it's one of those things where it's like Punk has been champion for a long time. Long as compared to most title reigns these days. And it's one of those things where it's like we're supposed to feel like Punk's title reign is significant. Significant enough to where we feel like when we get the new belt in July, it's going to be a big deal. You know? I think they want to... I would believe Punk... they feel like Punk should be the man who still holds the belt. Now, of course, that's July. You know, he can always, you know, win the belt back before then.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I would say that Punk still retains, but somehow something happens to make people question the end of the match. And so Brian goes after that, and the rivalry continues. What that something is, I don't know. Probably something involving AJ.
I agree with Punk retaining because I think it'd be really cool. I think there's really easy kind of like promo and pop for Punk to have the title going into Money in the Bank. So since it's a year after, you know, him and Cena at Money in the Bank, I think to be able to have him carry the title into Money in the Bank this year, be a big thing.
Right.
They, you know, he could do a really cool promo the week before. I think there's really easy material to mine there. And so I'm going to say that they keep Punk champion for now.
I tell you what, though, if they keep doing some this stuff at Money in the Bank, that's going to be like the hit summer pay-per-view, not SummerSlam, if they keep going like this, which I'm okay with because Money in the Bank has just been on it both years that it's been in existence.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
I mean, and you know, SummerSlam is basically just, you know, the feel-good show.
SummerSlam is whatever little summer story, which we should be getting any week now, but whatever little summer story finally gets to
it needs to happen soon, that way it's in full force by the time the 1,000 episode hits. That's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting everyone to just already be in a buzz about what's going to happen.
Right. So, any day now.
Waiting for it.
It used to happen on the 3-hour episode that was in June.
Yeah.
But something
was supposed to be Vince getting punched in the face.
I am deeply upset if that was our stunner for the year.
If that was their attempt. No, I think it's got to be something else.
It was like, this episode is way too good for them to have an exciting thing happen at the end. Because for the past couple of years, it's been a really terrible episode. The one with Punk's promo, really terrible episode up until that point. The one where Nexus invaded, really terrible episode up until that point.
I'm trying to think of the Nexus episode. Wasn't that one a Power to the People? Not a Power to the People, but basically like a
vote. No, it was a Power to the People. CM Punk's was a
the week before
roulette.
The one before. So basically any like 3-hour gimmick brawl.
Right.
Which I'm pretty sure we'll get.
So keep your eye out for that. Yeah.
I don't know if they're gonna have another 3-hour episode between now and then, but you know, whatever, it could happen.
Finally, we've got John Cena versus Big Show. With, I guess, the stipulation, Laurinaitis gets fired if Big Show loses.
But now, who knows with the whole...
Vince McMahon was going to say that, but he got punched before he could finish, so I don't know if that's an official stipulation. With that in mind...
But we have the cage
make
match.
Your choice.
And
oh, it is in a steel
it
cage.
It is in a cage
I forgot.
Match. I'm assuming... Cena's gonna win, somehow. Everything's been tipped in Big Show's favor recently.
Yeah.
And usually that means the opposite guy's gonna win. So that's pretty much what I'm gonna go with. What do you think?
I really would be surprised if Laurinaitis gets fired, unless this is the setup for some big deal, summer-long deal. But I am gonna... go ahead and say Cena wins because, well, for one thing, Big Show never wins steel cage matches.
Lord,
this is
no.
It's
even though he did, even though he did win one last night.
Oh, except for that one, except for the one he just won.
And just a quick side note: how good did Kofi look in that match?
Kofi looked great. That was another one. I was like,
that
this
spot where he was climbing up, and then he jumped over Big Show to avoid him. That whole spot right there was fantastic.
That was like, this feels like a main event match. Of any other episode, this would be your main event.
Yeah.
And so.
Which, you know, he might get that chance now with, you know, R-Truth with the broken foot. But that's another story.
Basically, don't team up with Kofi.
Seriously. don't team up with Kofi and don't face CM Punk at WrestleMania.
That's how you fall. Those are the greatest kryptonites of any wrestler.
Or just don't face CM Punk because, you know, Jeff Hardy's gone.
Jeff Hardy had many a problem.
None of them had anything to do with CM Punk. Fair enough.
Although, okay, to be fair, when Matt Hardy lasts longer than Jeff Hardy in a company, then you gotta start looking for some explanation.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
Yep.
All right. Triple H is gonna show up at No Way Out, apparently to address the lawsuit issues. What do you think is going to happen with that, Joel? Think he's just going to talk or something else is going to happen? Something else has to happen, right? They wouldn't be promoting him talking.
Well, they would.
I mean, I don't know. He's done, like, you know, surprise appearances and then talked.
Yeah. The thing is, do you think Lesnar's going to come back?
Because I don't know if Lesnar is, but I would think at least Paul Heyman.
I do expect Paul Heyman to come back, but that's just going to be talking, you know?
Yeah.
So the only way they're going to get any kind of physicality is if Lesnar storms the ring. I think we're all assuming this is a lead in to a SummerSlam match between Lesnar and Triple H.
Basically, I think this would just be like the first real, like, solid planting the seed of that thought, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the dumbest thing that can happen is Triple H says, hey, how about instead of legally settling our differences, we settle them in the ring?
Him and Heyman? What are you talking about?
No, him and Lesnar.
Well, that's pretty much what's going to happen anyways.
I know it's what's going to happen, but to blatantly stand there at No Way Out and say it is the dumbest way to do it.
It would be hilarious if a judge kind of like sits back and be like, I'll allow it.
I would actually be really, really excited about that. We've had weddings in the ring. Why not?
Speaking of the judge thing, this whole week I was, really kind of getting hyped about this whole Vince McMahon thing. And I was reminded by someone on the internet of something that I really wish would have happened. Way back when, they did the trial of Eric Bischoff during an episode of Raw, and Vince was the judge. And, I mean, I particularly loved it because his bailiff was Chris Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And basically would just have superstars one by one take the stand, and they would testify about Eric Bischoff. And it was, you know, your typical silly, you know, WWE time-filling stuff. Segments. Yeah, you had the coach as Eric's defense attorney, and then the prosecutor was Mick Foley. And it was the most absurd television ever. Like, go on YouTube and, you know, search the trial of Eric Bischoff. It was fantastic. I was kind of hoping for that. Just so we can get, you know, Vince in a big chair and just, you know, just lay into people.
Well, like you said, yeah, I would have totally been cool with Vince doing job evaluations for everybody. One by one by one.
Oh, yeah.
3 hours of it.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Yep. I think that just about does it for me this week.
That pretty much does it for me, too.
So we will return next time with No Way Out results and Triple H talking results.
All right, sounds good. In the meantime, if you want to send us a message, like I said before, you can email us at classyringattire@gmail.com. Tweet us at @CRattire. Joel, tell them about Tumblr.
We have a Tumblr where the podcast posts, in addition to other wrestling doodads and shenanigans, at classyringattire.tumblr.com.
Also, you can, if you want to make a comment or something, you can post a comment on our post at Inside Pulse Wrestling.
Wrestling.insidepulse.com.
That would be the one.
So, until then, stay classy, and huzzah!
Huzzah!